I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I need thee every hour. Stay thou nearby. Temptations lose their power when thou art nigh. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I need thee every hour, most holy one. Oh, make me thine indeed, thou blessed Son. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee.
Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Thank you, Seth. Thank you, Miss Karen. I enjoyed that offertory selection. You played on the piano there. Tickled that ivory pretty good, didn't you? Amen. Wasn't it good to be one of God's young'uns? Wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Amen. I'm a whole lot closer to heaven's shore than the one I left from. Amen. So if I can just keep on trucking. Amen. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Boy, I believe that. So that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. By faith he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it, he being dead, yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Back to verse 4, the last line, referring to Abel. Of course, you know it is brother Cain killed him. But says, by it, he being dead, yet speaketh. That reminds me, the other day, a lady stopped me in a store. Man, she was wound up, and she was yakking, and doing some more yakking. And I thought, she's going to stop here in a little bit. But she finally stopped. I said, you'll still be talking 7 days after they embalm you. And she thought, she got tickled. And she started telling everybody, she said, you know what that preacher said about me? I said, well, you never did come up for breath. You know, I thought, man, if you get a hold of that sister, you better do a good job on her. She'll be talking a week later. Amen. Woo. Look at verse 1. Now we got off on a good start anyway, didn't we? Yeah. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Title for today's message, the one thing that pleases God. The one thing that pleases God. Heavenly Father, Lord, once again we approach your throne with boldness as you've challenged us to do in the Word of God. Lord, we don't hesitate, I sure don't, to come boldly to the throne and ask for help. Because God, as the song just rendered, we need thee every hour. We need thee every minute. We need thee every breathing second. Every heartbeat, every breath. God, we need you more than ever before in these trying days. Lord, I thank you for this lovely and beautiful morning you've given to us. And thank you, Lord, for the privilege, Lord, to come to the house of God. And thank you for what we've already been able to hear. And your Sunday school classes and good selection of songs today and good special number. Lord, we sure do need you. And God, I'm asking for your help today. I pray to you, Lord, just have the liberty to dwell amongst us today. And Lord, use the message for your honor and glory. We thank you for what's going to be accomplished. We love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. And all of God's children said,
amen.
The one thing that pleases God. Hebrews chapter 11 was written to encourage young Hebrew Jewish Christians to continue on following the Lord in spite of being persecuted. And they certainly were experiencing that. You got to understand, it was a big and a major change for those born-again Hebrew Christians. The day that they decided to walk away from the Mosaic law, the law of Moses, put it behind, and put their personal faith and trust in a resurrected Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Because, see, not all Jews did that. In fact, most of them didn't. And most of them aren't today. Most of them are still looking for the Messiah to come. And so that was a very big, challenging transition for them. So to encourage those Hebrew saints, the writer gives them a long list of people here in chapter 11 of Hebrews who lived and accomplished great things by faith. I don't have time to get them, but in fact, most of us preachers probably have given the title to Hebrews chapter 11, The Heroes of Faith. And by the way, that's who our heroes ought to be. Today's generation has the wrong kind of heroes. You know, some guy go out and score a touchdown. He's my hero. That's the wrong kind of hero. Guy hit a home run and hit it plumb up in the bleachers. He comes people's hero. It's the wrong kind of hero. Hollywood stars, country music singers, rock singers, drug crowd, alcohol crowd, people that we look up to, come our hero. It's the wrong kind of heroes. Wrong kind of heroes. Now, there's nothing wrong with having a hero. Okay? Nothing wrong with having a hero. Listen to me, young folks. Listen to me, young boys. Your daddy ought to be your hero. Girls, your mama ought to be your hero. You say, why? Because they put up with you, that's why. Amen. No, because they put food in your belly, clothes on your back, shoes on your feet, good bed to sleep in, place to stay, send you to school, educate you, give an education. Parents ought to be your hero. It's not the old man. It's not the old woman. It's your mom, your dad. It's your mother and your father. We need to be careful who becomes our heroes today. Because most folk have the wrong heroes. Hebrews chapter 11 is just a continuation of the last part of chapter 10. Because we're talking about faith. Go back to the last part of chapter 10 and look at the last two verses. And we'll kind of tie it together. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we're not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Now, in verse 38, what does it say? The just shall live by faith. Now, in verse 39, you have the word of them that believe. And then chapter 11, verse 1. Now, faith, see the continuation here. Faith, believe, faith. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Verse 6. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, amen, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, we need to define what faith really is. I think sometimes our faith is misguided. Oftentimes we think that faith is believing that some hope or some premonition is going to happen. That's not biblical faith. That's not the faith that's being described for us here in Hebrews chapters 10 and chapter 11. Most people think that it's something like that. But faith, first of all, is believing God's word is true and that we act according to his word. If our faith is directed or centered in anything other than God's word, then we have misdirected faith. Our faith is in the word of God, and it ought to allow us to act according to his word. You see, everything hinges on whether you believe the Bible to be true or not. Everything. It all hinges on that. I was in the barber chair this week. Several of you already noticed. Yeah, you know, got to get a haircut once in a while or dog tags. I about said dog tags would be the cheapest route. But anyway, but I got a haircut. I was sitting in the barber's chair. And this guy walked in, sat down, and of course got that apron on and I'm getting my haircut. I thought, I know that guy, but I don't know the guy. I know the guy, but I can't put a name on him. And I never could get his name just right. And here I'm sitting there, and he's over there waiting his turn. He said, ain't you a Robinson? Now, when people do that, what do you think? Huh? When somebody said, you think, boy, they're going to say something good about me, or boy, they're going to say something bad about me. He said, I said, yep, I am. He said, oh, they always want to know how Larry's doing. They'll never ask me how I'm doing. I said, Mr. Robinson, how's old Larry done? He said, I drew the plans for Larry's house that y'all built back in the 70s. And I said, 1978. Then I remembered his name. And the barber whispered to him and said, don't get him stirred up. I said, why? Now listen to this, folk. I won't call his name because many folk here would recognize him because we're retired for a company that puts electricity in here for us. She said, he taught Sunday school. Now listen to this. She said, he taught Sunday school in the Methodist church for 24 years. And now he's withdrew from all of it and he says he's an atheist and doesn't even believe in God. Whew. Wow. Just about time, preacher, we think we've heard it all. We hear something to remind us we haven't heard it all. Isn't that sad? My. That's sad. Makes you wonder how many Sunday school teachers across the country aren't saved. But to walk out and say, I'm an atheist and don't even believe in God. She said, we just tried to get his hair cut and get him out of here. I said, well, I was going to talk to him. She said, I'd rather you wouldn't. And about that time came his turn. He looked at the other guy and he said, oh, I'm in no hurry to leave. You go ahead and go first. I'll just wait my turn. Well, anyway, I respected her place of business. And so she said, I'm serious. I said, don't get him stirred up. I said, we'll never get rid of him. I said, okay. So I paid and I got out of there. But faith is a belief in God's word that will affect your behavior. If you really have faith that this is the word of God, it will have an effect on your life and your behavior. So it poses a question. I got a lot of questions today. Question number one, why should we believe the Bible? Why should we honor this? And why should we believe this Bible is the Word of God? I'm going to give you some reasons why I believe it. Reason number one, I believe this book because of fulfilled prophecy. And it's being fulfilled real fast in our day. You talk about history, you won't find a better history book than this one. Now, when I was in school, Man's Achievements Through the Ages, I couldn't wait to get to 10th grade to get that book. I was in 7th, 8th grade. I'd see them walking around with that blue book in their hand, Great Achievements Through the Ages. I thought, boy, I want one of those one of these days. Well, I got into that finally, world history, got to study about that, so forth. Talked a little bit about those empires. But one day when I was 22 years of age, I got saved, got born again, got to reading the Bible, and I found out that that's where they got their information from. Amen. That's where they got their information from. You go all the way back to the book of Daniel. Old Daniel, there he was in Babylon. But old Daniel said, I got news for you. He said, this empire is going to crumble. And he said, I'll tell you something else. He said, they're going to come one after them, the Medo-Persian Empire. And he said, yeah, can't take that one. He said, I'll tell you something else. He said, after that's going to be Greece. He said, after that's going to be the Romans. Hey, and now we get to read all about that. I mean, I could go on and on and on, but time won't allow. Now, just to give you that one quick reason, this Bible has been proven over and over and over and over again to be the Word of God. And we're seeing so much of it in our day and age. How about this? Consider this. The book of 2 Timothy chapter 3. This know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Have you ever seen a more proud generation than this? Huh? Patting ourselves on the back. Proud of ourselves. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent. That means lack of self-control. Fierce, despisers of those that are good. Traitors, heady. Heady, related to the head. Alcohol, drugs, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Hey, that was written 2,000 years ago. And now we're experiencing. Don't try to fool the old man when it comes to this book. I've been around too long. The old scout follows the old trail. I kind of know my way around through this one, brother. So don't try to fool the old man. If you can't handle him, send him to me. I can take care of him. I believe this book. Amen. I mean, we're seeing it. Experience. I believe God's word because it is true. You say, preacher's got errors in it. No, don't start that stuff with me now. Mm-mm. No, no. A lot of folks say, well, you know, the Bible's got errors. And I say, oh, I didn't know that. I kind of plead ignorant. I say, really? Yeah. I say, show me one. Well, I don't know. You know what they're doing? They just heard some other fool say that and they just passing it on. Yeah, they get strutting their, you know, flopping their wings once in a while and want to try to impress somebody. I say, well, you know, the Bible's got errors in it. Next time you hear somebody say that, say, I didn't plead ignorant. So I didn't know that. Say, show me one or two of them. You got them hemmed up in the corner right then. They're just repeating what they heard somebody else say. It's not out there. But you know what? Most people will believe anything but this book. People would rather believe a lying politician than believe this book. Have y'all not figured out yet politicians lie?
Yes.
News media, they distort the truth. I don't even want them bothering me. I don't even want them interviewing me. Because they'll distort the truth. They'll take something you say and they'll rearrange that and make you look bad. You can't trust the news media. Educators who oppose the truth send their kids biology classes, science classes, where they teach evolution. I'm telling you, our educational system of this country is anti-God, anti-Bible. But yet we trust them. Jesus once asked the question. He said, when the Son of Man cometh, will he find faith on the earth? He asked that question a couple thousand years ago. That makes you wonder. Now, I don't always go to seed on polls. But sometimes I look at polls pretty serious. Because I think sometimes they're accurate. And the polls show that every year the number of families attending church is going down. Polls show every year that the number of preachers who believe the Bible is without error, the number is going down. I go on and on and on. The attendance in average churches year after year are going down. So that's a pretty good question the Lord asked. When I come again, will I find real faith on the earth? Now, question again. Why do men refuse to believe God's word? If you'll be honest, you can answer that without my help. But in case you're kind of lackadaisical, I'll help you out. Will that be okay? Reason number one why most people do not want to put their faith in God's word is because of their sin. It exposes sin in our lives. You're not going to pick this Bible up and read very far until you find, I'm guilty. Come on. The Bible exposes sin. And unfortunately, most of the time, it's sin that people refuse to give up. Sin that they do not want to give up. Now, Hebrews chapter 11 gives many examples of how men act when they believe God's word and the result of their faith. You see, first of all, God's word is where I get assurance of my salvation. That's where I go. That's where I get it. So how do you know you're saved? And you know, we have a generation of folks say, well, you know, you can't be saved and know for sure. I disagree. You know why folk have that tendency? They don't know the book. Their faith is in themselves. And that's misdirected faith. When they put their faith in this book, God's word, then it changes. I know I'm saved because of my faith in this book and what this book says. For example, consider this. 1 John 5, verse 11. And this is the record. Sometimes maybe individuals offer some kind of a proposal or something and they may make a comment like this. Well, you put that in writing. I want that in black and white. Well, right here it is. See that black, white. And it says this is the record. This is the print. It's in print. This is the record that God hath given us eternal life. And this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life. I've got Him. I chose him. February 28th, 1967. Tuesday night, 9 o'clock. So I've got him. Now look at what this says. He that hath the Son hath what? Life. Look at the contrast though. He that hath not the Son hath not life. Fourth grade student can read that and understand it. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know, K-N-O-W, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Well, now, preacher, I just don't think you can be saved and know it. Don't argue with the book. Your argument's not with me. Your argument is with God's Word. If you take that position, you're saying, I don't have faith in this book. You have a misdirected faith. You're really trusting yourself when you ought to look to the book and trust God's Word. God's Word is where we get our assurance of heaven. By the way, that's a real place. That's where we get our assurance of heaven. That's why that we can have birthdays and grow old and gray-headed and thank God for the two hairs we got left, amen? I always tell folks I'm a two-haired hippie. I got two hair 14 feet long and I just wiggle them back and forth and spray them down, amen? But the older I get, the more I'm looking forward to that place called heaven. Because the best is yet to come. I mean, it's like nanner pudding on Sunday, amen? Boy, Mama used to go around and, bless her heart, she'd spread that food around and try to feed all of us seven hungry kids and a daddy. Boy, in a while, she'd say, keep your fork. Woo! Bless God, when they say keep the fork, you knew the best is yet to come. Well, I want to tell you something. I'm keeping the fork because the best is yet to come. Why? Because I've read the book. I know there's life beyond the grave because I've read it in the book. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I'd have told you. That's the words of Jesus Christ. If it were not so, I'd have told you. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Hey, I get my assurance of salvation from the book. Faith in it. I get my assurance of that place called heaven because I have faith in the Word of God. And my faith is directed in the person of Jesus Christ. And He said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And He said, when I get it finished, I'm coming back. Amen? Amen. God's Word is my deed to that place. It also carries title insurance. Everything's already been checked out. He's already checked it all out. It's guaranteed. No strings attached. And I've got a clear-cut deed to that place called heaven. Now, let's talk about some of these fellows here. Got a little bit of time left. Consider some of these people that are mentioned here in chapter 11 who walked by faith. I don't have time to look at all of them, but I'll point out the verses for us. Look at verse 4. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. What was Abel's? I'm going to rush through this real quick. What was Abel's occupation? It's pretty obvious he was a shepherd. Verse 7 talks about old Noah. Noah was a carpenter. One thing, if I was going to build a house, I'd want him to have done it because he had 120 years of experience. I think he'd know how, don't you? Wow. How about old Abraham? Abraham was a foreigner looking for a city. But he said, the kind of city I'm looking for has foundations, and his builder and his maker is God. Amen. He looked for it by faith. How about his wife Sarah? Gave birth at 90. Boy, that sure messed up the biological folks, amen? Age 90. But she conceived by faith. That's what it says. Verse 11. Verse 31, Rahab, a converted prostitute. Verse 32, Gideon came from a lowly family. So we have a shepherd, a carpenter, Abraham looking for a foreign country, lady giving birth at age 90, a converted prostitute, and a guy from a lowly family. What can we learn from all of that? It means it's hope for everybody. Doesn't take long to come to that conclusion, does it? Living by faith is not an exclusive club. Living by faith is not just for the rich. Living by faith is not just for the poor. It's not just for the mighty. Anybody can enter the family of faith. And what's faith? It's taking God at His word. An established faith and an established God and an established book. Now, go back to verse 1 and 2 of our text. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. By it the elders, those Old Testament folks that talks about through the rest of the chapter, says they obtained a good report by faith. I wonder who issued the report card. Who gave the good report? Who issued the report card? Well, God did. By it, they obtained a good report. Hey, and guess what subject they took? Faith. Faith. That was the subject. And because they accomplished great things by faith, God said, give you A+. Report card. A+. You see, God doesn't praise a person for how much money he makes. God doesn't praise a person for their home runs, their touchdowns, their Oscars, their Nobel Prizes, and so forth. No. God praises people who believe His word. Faith is just taking God at His word. It's just that simple. And He'll praise anybody that does. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. So that's where I got the title for the message. The one thing that pleases God. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. He that cometh to God must believe that He is. I believe all that. How about you folks? And that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. You believe that? He's been rewarding me for the last 48 years. Every day of my life, my faith is renewed because God has kept His promises to me. I took God at His word, and God's come through. And God's taken good care of this guy. I'm a rich guy. I say, I'm a rich guy. Not in dollars and cents. But I'm rich. Not so much rich in houses and land. That's not... Those are riches going to be taken away. But I'm a rich guy because I'm saved. And it's guaranteed. I'm rich because I got a good retirement plan. The pay may not be too hot along the way, folks. Your pay scale may not be too hot, but you got a good retirement plan. You can't beat that one, amen? We got a bright future. A very bright future. God rewards those that diligently seek Him. It all boils down to this. What is faith? It's taking God at His word. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Not in Him. Well, I think the guy that walked away from the Methodist church probably had head knowledge. I suppose all those 24 years he was teaching Sunday school, he probably had head knowledge. But you see, believing in something is different than believing on it. If you'd have asked me when I was a teenager running around, lost as a goose, if you'd asked me, do you believe in Jesus Christ, I'd have said yes. Because I'd heard that name all my life. Well, sure. I couldn't have went in detail about it. I said yes, because I had head knowledge. Now, I don't use the example a lot of preachers do. I heard a preacher one time say, most folks are going to miss heaven by about 12 inches from here to here. We're not talking about the heart that pumps the blood. When you read about the heart in the Bible, it's talking about with every ounce of energy that you have. It goes beyond that. In fact, I'll tell you where it goes. It goes right here. If you study your Bible, especially in the book of Philippians, I believe it is, it talks about bowels of mercy. Have you ever used this expression? I just have this gut feeling. That's where your feelings are at. Your feelings are in your tummy, your digestive tract. That's where the heart and affection of a person is at. Now, the Bible says if a man believes with all of his heart, it's got to go from here to his gut feeling, if you please. Amen? I don't guess I've ever said it that way, Brother Mac. You got to have that gut feeling. Amen? Now, that's Arkansas language. Amen? But you got to have that gut feeling. You've got to conclude that Jesus Christ is real and that He's the Son of God and that you're willing to believe on Him. As oftentimes kids will swing from trees and say, look, no hands. Well, see, no hands, but I'm standing on something. The moment that you are willing to place your faith on the Lord Jesus Christ, you're saved. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that what? Believe on His name. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. Y'all believe that? Yeah. Believe in thine heart. Not that old physical heart that's going to go back to dust someday. But with every ounce of energy and intellect and intestinal fortitude you have. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Preacher, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Yes. Do you believe that strong enough that you're willing to trust your present and your future on Him? Yes. Have you done that? Yes. And I'll close by asking you the question, have you done that? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, if you're like me, you've been called a lot of different things in life. But that shows the wisdom of God. Shows how smart God is. You see, if I'd be reading my Bible someday, and I'd come across a line like this, it says, for if Don Robinson shall call upon the name of the Lord, he shall be saved. You know what the first thing go through my mind? Which one of us is he talking about? Because in my lifetime, I've known 5 Don Robinsons spelled exactly the same way mine. So I said, which one of us is he talking about? But you see, 2,000 years ago, when he told the Apostle Paul to write that down, for whosoever, God couldn't have chose a better word than that. For whosoever, that means you. And that means you. And that means you. And thank God it even includes me. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's how you receive Him. And you receive Him by faith. The just shall live by faith. Habakkuk in the Old Testament. The just shall live by faith. In the book of Romans, the just shall live by faith. Galatians, the just shall live by faith. Hebrews, the just shall live by faith. If God would have said it one time, I think I'd want to believe that. But He says it 4 times. Once in the Old, 3 in the New Testament. The just shall live by His faith. The just shall live by faith. Don't have a misdirected faith. Be sure your faith is anchored in the rock. And His name is Jesus Christ. Let's stand together.